podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. has worked to bring an end to the Russia-Ukraine war, but Russia's bombardment continues. At least 20 people were killed overnight in strikes across Ukraine. ABC's Lama Hassan has more.
These attacks come after the U.S. has cut off Ukraine's access to commercial satellite imagery, stopping military aid and sharing intelligence, all crucial for Ukraine's military to operate. One Ukrainian officer saying, "We are fighting blindly." The U.S. is increasing pressure on Ukraine into peace talks with Russia. And of course, all eyes will be on the scheduled talks in Saudi Arabia next week between
One Newark, New Jersey police officer is dead and others in critical condition after a shooting Friday. Authorities say the suspect in custody is 14 years old. In New Mexico, officials say Gene Hackman's wife died of hantavirus days before the 95-year-old actor died of heart failure. And it's day 23 in a Rome hospital for Pope Francis. The Vatican says he's resumed his morning therapy. This is ABC News. The Trump administration's indicating it will no longer honor the union rights of TSA agents, says ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
In a statement, the Homeland Security Department says it is ending collective bargaining for TSA agents, arguing it will strengthen workforce agility and enhance productivity. The union that represents the security officers accuses the department of fabricating a rationale for the move, which it calls a clearly retaliatory action. Last May, the Biden administration signed a 7-year contract with the union, with the agency's administrator saying the pay increases and protections it provided were needed to retain quality staff.
The nation's largest military installation is once again known as Fort Bragg. The North Carolina facility was named in honor of a Confederate general in 1918, but changed to Fort Liberty in 2023. It's been recommissioned Fort Bragg, but the Defense Department says it's now honoring Silver Star recipient Roland Bragg, who trained there during the Second World War. Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, "This is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow." Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Abortion is currently legal in Wisconsin. A judge made that ruling in 2023, about a year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. While some states have added abortion rights to their constitutions, others have enacted strict abortion bans. New research shows when states have these bans in place, it hurts their economy. Mike Moen reports.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research is out with a new study that includes survey data from 10,000 adults. The authors say one in five respondents planning to have children has moved or know someone who has to another state because of reproductive care restrictions in their current location. The Institute's Melissa Mahoney says it shows banned states will likely see some of their workforce talent flow elsewhere.
The labor markets in states that protect abortion tend to be more welcoming for women with higher wages, greater access to health insurance, also a stronger labor force participation.
These findings mirror results from a similar study issued earlier this year by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Mahoney says their research indicates it isn't just a problem for state policymakers. She notes that businesses should also be worried about a talent drain, with survey respondents wanting them to prioritize care access.
Many, in addition, are asking more of their employers in terms of reproductive health care benefits, in terms of speaking out against abortion restrictions in their states.
According to the findings, 57% of respondents say they're more likely to apply for or accept a job with reproductive health care benefits as part of the offer. And in South Dakota, 65% of adults think employers should provide financial assistance for child care.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your Fox Valley forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a snow shower, then partly sunny. This afternoon's high around 44, a little breezy out of the southwest. Tonight, clear and 27, mostly sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high near 50. Gorgeous Monday, 59.
Right now, it's 19.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's that time of year, daylight saving time. What is it? Why is it? And why do we have to do it every single year? Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot and I dig into it for our cover story. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. We also have stories today on pickleball and the community around the sport, colon cancer awareness month, what you need to know and how an early diagnosis means a better chance of survival, and an increase in ice rescues seen in the past week. Pete Schwabba honors an acting legend with his classic cinema pick of the week. Amanda Nimmer, well, Amanda doesn't take kindly to losing an hour of sleep and shares why she's changed her mind about taking time out of the day to nap. Later, we've got Jamie Lynn Fletcher as our musical guest. Stay with us for fascinating chat about chickens, in addition to some great live music. First, are you a napping fan? Terry Barr opens up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with something we may all need after we spring forward, a nice little nap. The Sleep Foundation reports more than 80% of adults say they've taken at least one nap in the last 3 months. But are we doing it the right way? Terry talks with an expert to find out.
We are talking about daylight saving time, which starts, of course, on Sunday. And joining me with some really helpful information is Dr. Stephen Gale. Dr. Gale is with Prevea Family Medicine at Prevea West DePere Health Center. Doctor, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
We're springing ahead, and that means a change in an hour. But why does that change impact people so dramatically?
It's always difficult. And I've got some young kids at home who never seem to be quite as impacted as the rest of us, I swear. But, you know, I think that all of us require a certain amount of sleep at night in order to rest and rejuvenate our bodies. And when we don't get that sleep and it throws off our normal circadian rhythm, which is the rhythm with which we live our days, it can really make us feel tired, worn out, and definitely impacts us often for a couple of days to try to catch back up.
A couple of days. Yeah, I believe that. And I think I have felt that in the past. So let's talk about a nap. Can we actually find value in taking a nap, especially around something like this?
You know, that's a good question. Napping is a very interesting thing. I have a hard time separating napping from our normal sleep. When you look at the amount of sleep we get at night, ideally we shoot for about 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Many of us fall dramatically short of that, unfortunately. When that happens, you know, we build up sleep debt. We fall behind in our sleep. And naps can be a useful way to catch back up on that rejuvenating sleep. There's been some data that's shown over time, relatively short duration nap, 20, 30 minutes at most, can actually be quite beneficial in people for feeling more rested and rejuvenated to get through your day. And some studies have shown some benefits in terms of cardiovascular health long term, which is a wonderful thing for those that like to get a little afternoon siesta.
Is there a right time to take a nap?
There's actually been some studies that show people that nap regularly for more than an hour actually can have some worse cardiovascular outcomes, risks of developing obesity and some heart disease. The studies are still ongoing. They're not a guarantee by any means. Generally, the key is kind of hitting that mid-afternoon time frame. Looking at that 2 to 3 o'clock hour is often probably the ideal time to think about it. We start napping much later than that during the daytime. It often starts to affect our nighttime sleep.
I am talking right now with Dr. Stephen Gale. He is a doctor with Prevea Family Medicine at Prevea West De Pere Health Center. So does the nap naturally mess up your sleep schedule?
I think that as long as you're someone that is sleeping reasonably well at night, a nap in the afternoon can be good. I'll always tell people, my goal is never to say, hey, let's only get 5 hours of sleep at night and try to add a couple hours during the daytime. But particularly at a time where, maybe like you mentioned, with daylight savings time coming up, it's a great opportunity maybe to take a little rest on the afternoon if you have the time to get a little pick-me-up before we get through the rest of the day.
I want to ask you kind of a fun question. And you mentioned you have little kids. How come kids have to take a nap? And of course, they don't want to necessarily. But then adults, sometimes people look at you and go, you don't need a nap. You're an adult. How do we deal with that?
As a child or an adolescent, they need that extra sleep in order for their brain to develop, their bodies to develop, and to live good, healthy lives. As an adult, we tend to need less sleep, yes. 7 to 9 hours probably is a good estimate. You may be someone who needs 9 hours and only gets 7 or 8, and adding a nap in during the day might be a great way to add a little bit more. I tell people that if you feel like you need a nap, you've got time for it, and you want to, go for it.
Thank you so much. Dr. Stephen Gale, Prevea Family Medicine at Prevea West De Pere Health Center. And in case you did not know, Monday is National Napping Day. I don't know about you, but I'm going to try to take advantage of it, especially with the daylight saving time. Thank you so kindly.
You're welcome. I appreciate being here.
Terry gives us one extra thing to think about when it comes to naps. If you ever feel your sleep habits are becoming a problem and could impact your health, talk to your doctor. You'll be asked questions about your lifestyle, appetite, and exercise, and it may lead you to a treatment plan and, in the end, less fatigue and more energy.
It's another new Wisco weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
Look, I don't know about you, but when daylight saving time hits every single year, I am a huge fan of naps. I'll nap on Sunday, I'll nap on Monday, I'll nap on Tuesday until I get my schedule situated. Does Amanda Nimmer agree with me? Well, that's what her commentary is about right now on New Wisco Weekend.
Naps are for the weak. Does that get your attention? Are you focused in right now? Good, because that was Amanda from about 7 years ago. Because at the time in my life, I never napped. I didn't understand it. You were just wasting part of your daylight. Sleep at night, for crying out loud. If you're tired, get some caffeine. Go do something. Maybe you need to take a poop. Because let me tell you, there are some days where you're just exhausted and a nice poop really wakes you up. TMI? Eh. But those days are quite gone. Does that mean I'm napping now? No, not really. I still can't actually nap. But I have once in a while, and you know what? Naps aren't for the weak. Actually, they're not really defined as anything other than naps, I found out. You don't have to be weak to have them. You don't have to be strong to have them. Heck, some people nap just because they're bored during the day. I mean, look at any dad out there. They can nod off like that just anywhere, at any time. It's honestly a magical trait. And I'm a little envious of it because, you know, that chit-chattering brain, you know, from last week, that doesn't shut off at night and it makes sleeping very hard. But here comes a dad, just lays his head down. He doesn't even have to lay down. He just has to sit down somewhere or lean against something and just out. But I digress because this isn't about, it's not what this is about. This is actually about the fact that I've changed my mind. And you know what? You can change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind on opinions from when you were younger and perhaps a little dumber. Life throws a lot at you. Sometimes you need to just shut down. What I've learned is I don't nap. I instead do something I call be dumb for a while. It's how I shut down and just let my brain rest for a moment. I may not be sleeping, but essentially I am wasting the same amount of time as someone would if they were taking a nap. What is being dumb? Well, that's putting on a show that I've probably seen multiple times, or I just truly don't care what's happening. I just need the background noise and staring off into the distance. I used to do it in a quiet room, staring at a wall. Some people would call that meditation. I called it being dumb for a while, because you know what? I needed a break. And that's what naps are really all about, right? Breaks. A break for the body. A break for the mind. Or, in my case, a much-needed break from my small children, because if they don't take a nap and I don't get any of my me time, I might just explode. So yeah, naps. Not for the weak. They're just naps. You can take one if you want to. I will no longer be judging you. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Last night, I didn't get to sleep at all. No, no.
While the weather is still playing fast and loose with winter, spring is coming. Tom Drzewicki, owner of Bayside Ice and Marine Rescue, says this is a dangerous time of year, a time he calls March Madness that has nothing to do with basketball, but everything to do with staying above water. Drzewicki says that in the last week, he's had approximately 10 jobs rescuing people or vehicles that have fallen through the ice.
We did one on the Sturgeon Bay Shipping Canal on Saturday. A person dropped his GMC Acadia or whatever right in about 24 feet of water. He was upside down. He's lucky to be alive at this moment. If he went to get out of that vehicle, it would have been lights out for him.
Drzewicki says that ice is about a foot thick right now in some places, but it's not safe due to an effect called honeycombing. That's where the ice melts and has pockets of weakness. Honeycombing is caused by rain or temperatures that reach the 50-degree mark and then lower back to freezing.
This is classic honeycomb ice, so just because you have ice thickness doesn't mean it's good ice. You have stronger ice early in the year, an inch and a half will out-support a foot of ice right now.
If you are determined to get in one more ice fishing trip before spring, Drzewicki says two things can help you stay safe on the ice. Paying attention to the conditions, the weather, and the color of the ice is one.
Your ice is going to go from, with water on top of it, or a snow melt, it'll go from a gray to a darker color, to the point where it actually gets black, but then it'll actually turn white again or gray. When it gets that, unless you're a mosquito, you're not walking on it. It's bad, bad, bad.
The second and most important part of staying safe is being prepared.
Wear a float suit. Have that cell phone. If it's not waterproof, you better get it in a baggie or something. Tell people where you're going. You need to fish where people can see you. Don't try to walk out there 2 or 3 miles where nobody can see you, because it's all about this self-rescue. If you fall through the ice, can you physically get yourself back up on top of that ice before you succumb to hypothermia before the rescue personnel get to you?
Drzewicki was a guest on the Mino and the Mayor show, airing weekday mornings from 6 till 9 on WISS and WGBW. Find them on the Civic Media app. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. When we come back, a look at Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we'll have Pete Schwabba's Classic Cinema Pick of the Week. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, it's Amanda with another New Wisco 411 for you, and there's no better way to celebrate spring than with the maple syrup season. And you can do that at the Bubbles Nature Preserve for Maple Syrup Saturday. Help yourself to a pancake breakfast made by the staff and volunteers, and take your support for the preserve to the next level. Adopt a bucket. Each family who adopts a bucket will join the preserve to tap your own maple tree and hang your bucket to collect throughout the entire season. So go to WISS.FM and click events to learn more.
Hey, fellow Gen Xers, it's Elizabeth Banks.
Big news! The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the charge. After all, we gave the world the internet. We're trailblazers. Let's lead the way again, because we are at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Head to VaxAssist.com and schedule today. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. On the way, we've got a story about Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And in about 10 minutes, our cover story featuring Brittany Merlot and a talk on daylight saving time. Conrad Krieger will be looking at pickleball in a little bit as well. Right now, Pete Schwabba shares with us a great film and a great actor in the classic cinema pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week, I'm honoring the late Gene Hackman. Trying to pick a film from such an acting titan was not easy, but I decided to go with the lesser-known Night Moves, a crime drama that's 50 years old. So let's dive in. In Night Moves, Hackman plays Harry Mosby, an ex-professional football player turned private investigator. For Hackman, it's a role where, despite being in danger, his character is calm, cool, and curious. Harry Mosby is hired by a former Hollywood starlet to find her 17-year-old daughter, Deli. Even though he is being pressured by his wife to find something more steady in the investigation racket, Mosby prefers to work by himself and takes the job.
I'm looking for Deli Grassner.
Deli isn't around here anymore.
You got any idea where she could be? Is she visiting friends? Is she meditating? Is she joining a commune?
Deli's idea of a commune is her and the guy on top of her.
When's the last time you saw her?
Screw off, Mr. Fee.
Hey, what is this?
What happened to your face?
I won second prize in a fight.
Where was the last place you saw Deli?
In New Mexico.
Easy. I went down there on a job, a movie location. Something for Warner Brothers. Deli went with me. There was a guy, one of the stuntmen. Deli started hitting on him. When I left, she stayed on.
What was the stuntman's name?
Marv Ellman.
Is he the one you had to fight with? Any message if I run into Deli?
Just be driving a truck.
His investigation takes him to a movie set in New Mexico and eventually to Florida, where he finds Deli living with her mom's ex-husband and his girlfriend. Hackman's character has a hard time convincing her to go back to L.A., but he eventually wins Deli's trust and she agrees to return. But just when you think Deli is home safe and sound, there is a twist and the mystery escalates, drawing Mosby into what turns out to be a murder case with an intense action sequence at the end. Night Moves is a good crime story with noirish qualities, and since it's set in the 1970s, there is no shortage of characters sleeping with other characters. But the focus always comes back to Hackman's character chasing the facts. In addition to Hackman, Night Moves features Melanie Griffith in her first movie role as Deli. The cast also features Jennifer Warren, a UW-Madison grad who won the Screen World Award for her role in Night Moves opposite Hackman, and a younger but no less creepy James Woods. The film reunited Hackman with director Arthur Penn, who he had previously worked with on Bonnie and Clyde. The two teamed up again in the mid-1980s on the film Target. Hackman may be gone, but wow, what an incredible body of work he has left us. Even his lesser-known films and roles are treasures. Rest in peace, Gene Hackman. Enjoy Night Moves. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
I blame you for the moonlit sky and the dream that died with the eagle's flight. I blame you for the moonlit nights when I wonder why are the seas still dry.
March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and New Wisco Weekend's Joanne Krulatz has more.
Colon cancer is one of the top three types of cancer in the world. It is diagnosed in 150,000 people a year, with 1 in 20 diagnosed with colon cancer dying from the disease. This month is a time to shine a light on the importance of early detection and lifestyle choices in the fight against this prevalent disease. Screenings can decrease your chance of dying from the disease by 90%. Trey Folkers is a doctor of gastroenterology at Amplify Health, Gunderson.
The screening tests are divided into two groups. There's cancer detection tests. Those are your stool tests, stool-based tests, such as FIT cards, where you place a small amount of stool on a card and mail it in. It's looking for small amounts of blood in the stool that can be, that are usually released from large polyps or the cancers. And that's a FIT-based test that's done every year. There's something called Cologuard, which people have probably seen the commercials for, that examines an entire stool. And it is done every 3 years. It includes the FIT test, but also a DNA evaluation looking for those advanced polyps and cancers. Those tests are very good at diagnosing cancers early stage, which can then be treated usually surgically. In order to prevent those cancers, we do colonoscopy. That's considered a prevention test. And during your colonoscopy, if we find what the precancerous polyps, those are removed. And again, it's believed to reduce your risk of getting colon cancer by about 90%.
While the average age to begin screening for colon cancer is 45, it can be different for everyone.
The rates of colon cancer and many cancers have been increasing in younger individuals. So the most recent recommendations are to start at age 45 if you don't have any family members affected by colon cancer or polyps. So if you do have family members, particularly first-degree relatives affected by colon cancer or polyps, those recommendations may change. So all of that should be discussed with your primary doctor and shared with your family members.
Folker says if you display any signs of colon cancer, you should see a doctor.
Presentation in colon cancer is change in bowel habits. So if you're having more diarrhea, change in the size caliber of your stool, more constipation, and those symptoms aren't getting better over 2-3 weeks, then you need to be talking to your primary doctor. Those symptoms are present in about 75% of individuals who present with colon cancer. Bleeding is present in about 50% of individuals. Any rectal bleeding should also be discussed with your primary doctor. Iron deficiency anemia, so which would show chronic small amounts of blood loss, is present in about 20 to 30% of folks.
According to the American Cancer Society, anyone can develop colon cancer, but certain factors can increase the risk. Folker says it can be caused by genetics, but colon cancer is based a large part on environment.
Diet and exercise plays a large part. You know, diet is the same thing that's bad for your heart is bad for your colon. Diets high in red meat, alcohol increases your risk, smoking increases your risk, and lack of exercise increases your risk. So any Western diet puts you at risk. So our rates of colon cancer in older individuals have been decreasing with the increasing amount of screening that we're doing over the last 30-40 years, but we're still, with the population increasing and the younger folks being more affected, the number of colon cancers diagnosed every year has been remaining stable.
The month of March aims to raise awareness about colorectal cancer, the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On New Wisco Weekend, our cover story with Brittany Merlot. Why do we spring ahead every year? It's daylight saving time this weekend, and honestly, I'm going to need a nap. Speaking of naps, a 10 to 20 minute power nap will boost alertness. A 60 minute nap is good for cognitive memory processing. A 90 minute nap includes a full sleep cycle complete with REM and might aid in creativity. But naps longer than that can result in sleep inertia, what we commonly call grogginess. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. has worked to bring an end to the Russia-Ukraine war, but Russia's bombardment continues. At least 20 people were killed overnight in strikes across Ukraine. ABC's Lama Hassan has more.
These attacks come after the U.S. has cut off Ukraine's access to commercial satellite imagery, stopping military aid and sharing intelligence, all crucial for Ukraine's military to operate. One Ukrainian officer saying, "We are fighting blindly." The U.S. is increasing pressure on Ukraine into peace talks with Russia. And of course, all eyes will be on the scheduled talks in Saudi Arabia next week between
One Newark, New Jersey police officer's dead and others in critical condition after a shooting Friday. Authorities say the suspect in custody is 14 years old. In New Mexico, officials say Gene Hackman's wife died of hantavirus days before the 95-year-old actor died of heart failure. And it's day 23 in a Rome hospital for Pope Francis. The Vatican says he's resumed his morning therapy. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Then tomorrow night, they take on the team with the best record in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks have won 8 of their last 10 games since adding players at the trade deadline, like Kevin Porter Jr. and 6'9" Kyle Kuzma, Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
The guys that we have brought in have been really good. Just a great fit. Kuz is the ability to play so many positions and do so many things has just been really good for him. Been great for Giannis, you know, to have another big on the floor.
Women's college hockey, another win for the Badgers women's hockey team. They beat the Duluth Bulldogs 3-1. Casey O'Brien with her 80th goal of the season. That's the most in college hockey since 2018. So the Badgers now advance to the championship round tomorrow in the WCHA final face-off tournament being held in Duluth, Minnesota this weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your Fox Valley forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a snow shower, then partly sunny. This afternoon's high around 44, a little breezy out of the southwest. Tonight, clear and 27, mostly sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high near 50. Gorgeous Monday, 59.
It's 24 right now.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, joining us next time, we'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's now time for our cover story. Now, we do this every single year in the spring. We set the clocks ahead an hour. We lose an hour of sleep. We get a little grouchy. Eventually, we get over it and we get on with things. But why? And what is daylight saving time? Let's sit down with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot to learn just a little bit more. Usually on New Wisco Weekend, you're here with your weather segment. But today, I've got you here to talk about something kind of related to the weather. I know that's part of what it came to be about, but daylight saving time is Sunday. We spring ahead, 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, we spring ahead. Why? I've always wondered, why are we springing ahead? Why does daylight saving time exist?
Yeah, exactly. Well, first off, I want to say you said it right. It's daylight saving time. There is no S. A lot of people add the S, so don't do that. But the reason why is really to save energy, it's to save that money, to have us awake during the hours where there's more sunshine out and the daylight to use it. And, just save on energy because you're not coming home earlier in the evening now and using your lights anymore. So it kind of all started with, it's an interesting thing. Ben Franklin, all right, he had this crazy equation and it was to save candles. So he was talking about the burn rate, how many candles they were going through and ways to save on their candles. Well, he figured, okay, well, if we shift the time an hour ahead, it's going to save this much. And so that's where it kind of all stemmed from. Now, no one adapted that or took that right away, but they ended up using it in World War I. It was 1918. So kind of for the same reason, it was to save energy consumption and all of that. And agriculture was actually pretty opposed to it because kind of like humans, animals kind of go by the sun. So it kind of disrupted the animals, milking the cows, all of that, but it still went through. So this was in 1918, World War I. After that was over, everything went back to normal. So it was enacted again in World War II, called it wartime. So same thing, save money, save energy, save costs.
But okay, so you mentioned that agriculture was against this. I always thought that daylight saving time was created to help farmers go out, and have light when they went out to do whatever job that they were doing. I did not know that they were against this. This is cool.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. Like you said, farmers, you think they want the daylight to kind of adjust to what we're used to. I mean, if you think about it, okay. So if you put yourself in, okay. So basically tonight or when this moves, our sunrise right now is at 6:21. It's going to change to 7:14 in the morning. But by summer, if we stayed, it would be 5:13. Or I'm sorry, it's going to be 5:13, but if we stayed, it would be 4 a.m. Like, who would want the sun coming up in the summer at 4 a.m.? And that's even a bigger difference to the animals, to humans, to our moods, to everything. And if you think about it, because in winter, it comes up at 7 a.m. So there's a bigger difference from 7 a.m. versus 4 a.m. when if we do this change, it's now 5 a.m.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I know that every summer I tend to wake up earlier and earlier and earlier because it's getting lighter earlier and earlier, and I can't stay asleep when it's light. I just can't. So we're waking up instead of at 4 o'clock in the morning, we can wake up at 5:00 is basically what daylight saving time did, right?
Yes. And that's in the morning. So now at night, instead of it setting at 7:30, because if we did nothing, it's going to set at 7:30. Now we're extending it to 8:30. Now we can go outside and go boating and have fun and enjoy 4th of July festivities instead of it setting at 7:30, which is what it would do if we stayed.
Gotcha. So the main reason then is to save energy and extend our daylight time, I guess, the time that we would be working, playing, doing that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think, honestly, it's easier to adjust to this change than if we were to stay at the same. And then our moods would even be more disrupted. So I'd rather take the hit, you know, this coming week than have to feel that effects into the summer.
That's another thing I was going to ask you. Some people are like, let's just keep it one time. We don't need this anymore. I mean, you know, we're past the days of candlelight. We're past the days of gas lights outside. But do we really want to stop the daylight saving time changes?
I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. I rise and fall with the sun. No way. No thanks, personally.
How many states do you know? And you know, if you don't know, please let me know. But how many states don't do the time change?
That I know of right now, two of them, Hawaii and Arizona. And the reason why Hawaii doesn't is because they're so much closer to the equator. Their sunrise and sunsets and changes, that doesn't move much. You know, if you think about the globe, the earth, its tilt, summer, we're facing, the northern hemisphere is facing the sun. The equator is not changing much first. So they're kind of excluded from it. But Arizona, they're kind of using the excuse of summer heat. They want it to set earlier. They want the day to end because it's just too hot out there.
What about Indiana? I thought Indiana didn't do it, but have they started doing it now?
Good question. That actually, I don't know. I know there's been a lot of controversy on Indiana.
there's always controversy in Indiana. Let me see. Yep. They started in 2006. The entire state would observe daylight saving time. Well, that surprises me because I remember as a child, Indiana was always off. It was always weird. So anyway,
that's what I remember too. Yep. So the 2006, that was the Energy Policy Act that also extended our time frame too. So the daylight saving time used to be on the first Sunday in April. Now we've moved it up to the second Sunday in March. And then we also extended it on the other end. So instead of switching it back in October, we now extended it to the first Sunday in November, just so kids could go trick-or-treating and get that extra hour of sunlight and be safer.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. Give them a little extra time to have fun. That makes sense. So daylight savings time, or excuse me, saving time. See, I stick in that S a little bit too often.
I do too. I might have already.
Daylight saving time was started as a saving energy measure. Now we use it to extend the daylight for summer activities and fun. Does it really affect our bodies when we make that change?
I think so. I mean, we're on a routine. I am, that's for sure. And I also rise and fall with the sunset. And so now when work wants me in later, I'm already wide awake. What's going on? You know, I want to go to bed an hour earlier. So I'm getting less sleep. I'm probably going to stay up later, get less sleep over the next week or two and be a little bit more down. And actually, there's been research done that more accidents are happening at work. People are calling off, getting in trouble. Moods are just off. They're crabby. They're tired. I mean, you're just going to be tired.
But that eventually goes away and then we're back at our normal selves.
Exactly. And you know what? I'll take that. I'll be crabby for a week if I can have a 5 a.m. sunrise in the summer versus a 4 a.m. No thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on to help us understand daylight saving time a little bit better so that we know why it is we go through this crazy thing every year.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're welcome.
In talking with Brittany, we mentioned efforts to repeal daylight saving time. In 2022, the U.S. Senate passed the Sunshine Protection Act. It would have made daylight saving time permanent, making that time change standard time and would eliminate the fall back to standard time. That act did not pass the House, and it went no further. The idea was brought up again in 2023. And in January of this year, Senator Rick Scott of Florida introduced legislation to, quote, lock the clock and make daylight saving time permanent. This will be an interesting piece of legislation for us to keep an eye on. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump is on record as wanting to put an end to daylight saving time, calling it inconvenient and expensive for the nation.
We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Pickleball is a lot of fun, and it's more than just a sport in Northeast Wisconsin. It's a sense of community, regardless of age or background. Conrad Krieger has that story.
The pickleball wave is taking over northeastern Wisconsin, and a lot of people are taking up the sport to stay active all year round. I talk with WBAY Morning Host and pickleball enthusiast Emerson Lehman on the basics and the community of pickleball. Do people realize how active pickleball actually is?
I think some people, they still, there's the thought that it's just this game for your grandparents, you know, 65, 70-year-old people running around, but it is a super fast-paced, high-energy game now. If you watch higher-level pickleball, I mean, the hand-eye coordination, the agility that it takes to be competitive is just continuing to grow and grow and grow, and the talent levels continuing to grow and grow and grow, and the age of players is continuing to go down and down and down.
So you see pickleball like all over social media. You got influencers talking about it. It's on TV. I mean, you talk about it. So, I mean, why do you think the sport has been popularized in like the last like 5 years?
It's just so cool that anybody can play it. When I'm home for the weekend during the summertime and my parents and my aunt and uncle are hanging out and they say, let's go up to the park and play pickleball. And I go up there with them and I'm partnered up with my mom and we're just hitting the ball around, having fun, laughing. It brings so many people from so many different backgrounds, so many different abilities, and it brings everybody together. It itches that competitive edge, but it also is a sense of community of, you know, a big family, and it's just so much fun. And I think people, especially following COVID, people were really kind of yearning for something like that. They really wanted that sense of community and friendship and competitiveness, and pickleball scratches all of that and then some.
Northeastern Wisconsin, they definitely have the community for pickleball.
Oh, 100%. I think it's one of the bigger communities in the state. When you look at the pickleball scene, I mean, Madison has a great scene. Northeast Wisconsin, I would put it right up there. There's a lot of high-end players. There's a ton of beginner, intermediate players. Like, there's a group for everybody here. And there's so many different facilities where year-round you can play. You've got Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh. You've got Next Level Pickleball in Little Chute and in Green Bay. They have two locations. Pickleball Kingdom in Appleton. You've got the Pickler that just opened in Ashwaubenon. You have so many dedicated facilities to it, and then you have all of these parks and all these different communities that have courts as well, and there's groups that are playing every day at these parks. I mean, you can find it all over Northeast Wisconsin. It's a great place to be if you want to play pickleball.
How would you recommend someone who doesn't know anything about pickleball, doesn't know the rules, doesn't even know that there's a paddle involved, and they just want to be active, how would you recommend they start?
If you're really interested in it, there's a lot of these facilities, they offer pickleball 101 class where you can go. They have paddles there that you can use, and you just experience it. It's probably an hour long. I tell people usually it takes about a half hour to an hour to understand the scoring. And once you do that, it's good. Like, you kind of walk into it and it's like, what is this? Because there's some weird rules that kind of go along with it to the outside eye. Again, there's so many of these places that have amazing coaches. Just go try it out. They're fairly inexpensive. Give it a shot. You do that instead of eating out one night. You know, you do that. You go be active. If you don't like it, cool. You tried it, right? It was a fun thing to try. If you do like it, all right. Well, maybe you're interested in getting a paddle. Maybe you're in love with it and you're like, I'm getting a membership. I want to come back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Like, we hope that happens, right? But it's so easy to dip your foot in because, like I said, especially during the spring, summertime, every park that has a pickleball court, I guarantee you there's going to be someone up there at some point in the morning, afternoon, or evening that if you say, hey, can I jump in with you? They will more than likely say, yep, let's do it. And then you just got 2, 3, 4 more people into the pickleball community.
That was Emerson Lehman, the WBAY Morning Host and pickleball enthusiast. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Up our musical guest this week, Jamie Lynn Fletcher. This is New Wisco Weekend.
listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Jamie Lynn Fletcher spent some time on the Mino and the Mayor show recently. This great personality shares her music and stories about her chickens. Here's a little bit of that interview with John Mino, Jim Schmidt, and Dennis Peters. And of course, Jamie Lynn Fletcher.
Welcome back to our favorite part of the week. It really and truly is. It's the Heights Pub and Parlor music series. And I am so excited about this guest entertainer, Jamie Lynn Fletcher, who I'm a huge fan of.
Oh,
beautiful chickens.
Thank you.
Has anyone ever said you have beautiful chickens?
A couple times.
Okay. You do have beautiful chickens.
No, I grew up with chickens. Like, I was raising glamoury chickens when I was a kid. I was showing them in all the competitions, training them, blah, blah, blah. I had chickens before chickens were cool, so I am a farm girl. I can sell you some fresh eggs.
All right.
But we'll take them.
How much?
Right.
We will take them. I got to talk. Okay, we're going to have you perform, but we want to talk a little bit about your children's books. Go ahead and talk about those, please.
So Scooter, the matriarch of my chicken coop, she is like a miracle chicken. So she's got more lives than a cat. And she had a really bad accident when she was young. My chickens are, they are free ranging, like, but you got to be careful because they'll get lost in the garage. They'll get in your car. Anyway, so Scooter, I've had so many people throughout her life tell me, oh, you got to write a Scooter needs a book. And she is going on 12 now, which is like a million years in chicken years.
Wow.
And she's beautiful. She's a silver lace Polish, you know, with the floofy, glamoury
she's
hair.
She's beautiful,
yeah. So she's gotten so much attention. And my chickens actually have been some of the faces of McMurray National Hatchery Magazine. And I know. It's a big deal. I've been ordering from them since I was a kid. But
is that like Cat Fancy or something?
Kind of.
Comparison?
This is like for crazy chicken people.
Okay, fair.
So we started last year, and I was invited to go play Chicken Fest in Webster City, Iowa. Rory Feek was closing. I was opening. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I should have been closing. But it was... it was just super fun. So I said, Scooter, we got to get the book out before we go to Chicken Fest. And she had like town hall meetings to do and stuff because she was running for president at the time, too. She had like a whole campaign with T-shirts.
This is your chicken we're talking about.
This is my chicken.
Okay.
So that's her first children's book, and it's Scooter hatching. And a lot of chicks don't make it, and people don't know that. It's really hard. You cannot help them hatch either. It can take up to 24 hours. They have to do it on their own. I mean, you can if it gets really struggly, but then you probably will have a weak bird. They have to get through this. So it's sort of the human struggle of she's trying, and she hits so many walls, literally the inside of the shell, and she wants out because she wants to experience something bigger in the world than being in her safe zone in the shell. It's the hero struggle.
Right.
Okay. She's in her safe zone, but she's a really active, planning, plotting, adventurous little being, but she gets too big for her shell, and then she wants more, but it's really hard to break through the shell.
I love the metaphors.
Okay, I like this.
And so we just finished her coloring book. That's all hand sharpied. I burned out 5 sharpies.
Come did on. You do all the artwork?
Yeah, I did.
All right, ready to play, Jamie?
Yeah. Well, when you went for the little ad for this, Amanda picked the song, an original I wrote, "All the Love That Can Be." So I thought, my gosh, I play that so slow on the original recording, and it's a little brighter and poppier now, but I wrote this tune, and this actually could be a Scooter song. I got asked to do this when everything was just falling apart in life. And I was contacted by what would be like NPR in Japan, because I did some gigs over there, and they were doing...
You did gigs in Japan?
I did, yeah. And they were doing a documentary on Hiroshima on the anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And they contacted me and said, asked if I would write a song for world peace. Like, you know, the last guy did that.
Wow.
I got shot. But... And the song came out, and it was just, it's sort of a message that's really applicable today. It's just about...
Jamie Lynn Fletcher.
You know, we're so divided in society.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. And I have a degree in politics and won a master's of broadcast journalism, and I know how the system works, unfortunately. Here we go. This is called All the Love That Can Be. I know you're tired and weary, and the world is going mad. You scream, what are we doing? Is this the best that can be had? But when I look into your eyes, I see you, I see me, I see all the love that can be. So turn off all the chaos, the confusion, and the lies. We're taught to judge, to run, to hate, to live in a divide. But what's really in your heart? Just take off that disguise, 'cause I see you, I see me, I see all the love that can be. So take my hand. Like a compass always pointing north, you know just where I am, I will be there. So count the stars above, and I will write a little song for each and every one that your heart might wish upon. So go and find your dreams, and those roads will lead us back to one. If you and I believe in all the love that can be, if you and I believe in all that love that can be, 'cause I see you, I see me, I see all the love that can be. Nice meeting you all today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem que passa no doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moço do corpo durado do sol de Ipanema, o céu balançado e mais. Que um poema e a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Oh, porque estou tão sozinho? Ah, porque tudo é tão triste? Ah, a beleza existe. A beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha, ah, ah. Se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo só indo se enche graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor, por causa do amor, por causa do amor.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, our look at daylight saving time and the benefit of a good nap. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Joanne Krulatz, and Pete Schwaba. Commentary by Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by Jim Schmidt, John Mino, Dennis Peters, and Brittany Merlot. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Don't let daylight saving time throw you off. Get a nap and be unstoppable.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the American crisis. Also, the GOP has a mandate. Should they be able to pass a stopgap spending bill without Democratic help? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Multiple sources tell ABC News that Elon Musk clashed with top cabinet officials, particularly Secretary of State Marco Rubio, during a Thursday cabinet meeting. That confrontation was first reported by the New York Times. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
The president also defending his administration's mass firings of federal workers.
We're trying to shrink government and grow the private sector.
Some 4,000 Pentagon workers receiving termination notices. Just the first round of layoffs that could total tens of thousands.
Overnight, Russian strikes across Ukraine left at least 20 people dead. This follows the U.S. stopping Ukraine's access to commercial satellite data. Police in Toronto say a group of men walked into a bar Friday and began shooting randomly. 12 people were hurt. And officials in New Mexico say Gene Hackman likely died days after his wife died of hantavirus. Gene Hackman died of cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's. This is ABC News. South